Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, just released this month. And I am so happy to welcome Leonard Goodwin, author of Echoes in the Universe. Leonard Goodwin is a retired professor and social psychologist who previously was on the faculty of Earlham College, the staff of the Fulbright Exchange Program, and the staff of Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. Echoes in the Universe has been awarded and become a winner of the 2014 National Indie Book Awards Contest. Very nice, Leonard. Hello and welcome.
Yes, hello.
Very
Thank
nice.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and that's a wonderful award that you just received. Leonard, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, the show welcomes visionaries and innovators in the metaphysical fields who seek a greater awareness of the connection between our physical and spiritual life, focusing on experiences and opportunities that we all encounter on our inner journey of self-investigation. Often, as a result of this investigation, we may learn to become the best version of ourselves, and may find peace, health, and joy, and a greater appreciation of the gift of life. In today's episode, you and I will share certain spiritual experiences. You will talk about the transmission of energy to the earth from the sound angel realm, the interplay of everyday and spiritual experiences, illustrating how challenges orchestrated by what you call dark forces, including childhood traumas and a near-death experience and a heart attack, can be welcomed and embraced and interwoven with opportunities fostered by light forces to further spiritual development. Tell us something of your earlier life, your interests, and the beginning awareness of your spiritual connection.
Well, interestingly enough, I had no spiritual interest at all for many, many years. My background was in science. I had a talent in that. And I graduated in engineering physics and mathematics and worked for a while in that area. And it wasn't until much later in life that I had an interest in spiritual matters. It came about really as I felt dissatisfied with what science was able to tell us about our lives and about what was happening in the world. And I went into the areas of literature and then some into philosophy and then into psychology. And I was actually a mature social researcher before I became aware that I had any spiritual connection at all. In fact, I was in my 50s.
You know, I had the same journey, and so have many of my guests and authors on this show. I also was very much grounded into the physical world. My father was a podiatrist and my mother a legal secretary, and I needed everything to be shown to me and proven, and there are things that we can only know through the energy of our heart or inner being. And I also had experiences later and saw that there, I had questions, like there must be more to life than what we're seeing. And so many wonderful synchronistic coincidences and happenings and miracles started to happen as I asked the right questions. So we had very much a similar beginning, and then we delved into another part of our life. But I know something about your background because I read the book. You were born in Brooklyn, and so was I. But you were born before the great stock market crash. You had a sister, and your father was a civil engineer. And at three, you developed a medical problem. Something was not right with how your legs were developing. And you observed other children with disabilities. You were sensitive. I'm going to say here that this health problem made you more sensitive to what was going on around you. And your parents decided that surgery was required and would straighten your legs. And the next thing you talk about is waking up in a hospital in a body cast. Both legs had been broken, bone removed from the knee, and your parents weren't there. They hadn't prepared you. You were alone. And I think, even though that was very hard for you to go through, there probably was a deep spiritual purpose in alerting you to how the world was working so you could figure out a way to make it work better for yourself and others down the line. That's my own take on some of this. But pain, and without being prepared, is very damaging to a child's soul, more so perhaps than the physical hurts. When you left the hospital, I'm kind of think you had a serious loss of trust. And that makes me really sad because I see, even today, with so much knowledge, parents need more help in how to be sensitive to their children's needs, because we carry with us all the rest of our life any of these traumas that start when we're young. And I know your book can help people see that. So we go on from there to...
Well, let me say that, you know, looking back at that now from a spiritual point of view, my take on this is that those of us who come in to be helpers in the world are likely to be under, quote, attack or challenge from spirit beings that do not want us around here, that are more in favor of separation, anger, hostility. They live off those things. And they challenge those of us who come in with a program that's a program of interconnection, love, and creativity. And what I think now, what happened, was they were at work on my parents' fear of that I was going to be crippled, and so they went this route. And the reason they weren't there when I woke up is that scarlet fever had broken out in the hospital and we were quarantined. Nobody could get in or out. And by at the end of my time there, I had stopped eating and indeed was ready to depart this this plane of existence. But I was apparently overruled on that.
You said you had an early out-of-body experience at that time. Is that so?
Well,
I don't know if you remember it, but
I had some kind of experience, you know, at that age. It's hard to say looking back, but I was told that I was going to stay on, but it was so traumatic. And as I say, I attribute that now when people have these difficulties, they might like to think that they probably have something really important to do here.
Well, I think that is absolutely correct. I think children, sensitive children, as you say later on, you had often sore throats and you had stomach distress because the chakra system is set up so that the seat of the soul is at that chakra point. I am an energy healer, and this is the seat of goals and confidence and self-esteem. And children who are very sensitive and guided towards a serious purpose in life are going to have some of these health issues as children, because we're all sensory beings, and we're feeling and experiencing everyone else's emotions and activity around us. And some of us are just a little bit more a receiver than others. We receive it more intensely, and it does create some of these health issues until we learn to understand the rules of energy and can protect ourselves and be able to understand that it's often not our own emotion, but we are picking up other people's overload or extreme action or reactions. Would you agree to that?
Yes, indeed. And in fact, the other half to being challenged by these negative forces is that we're always offered opportunities.
Yes.
Positive forces to learn.
Excellent. That is the truth. So, you know, we know there's only two emotions in the world, fear and love. Now, you go on to talk about the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in December 1941. You were young, but do you remember anything about that time?
Well,
Or how the people around you reacted?
that came as a shock, of course. The I guess the more dramatic part of it came at the time, at the end of the war, when they dropped the atom bomb, because I was about 16 at that time, and I thought that this was such a great thing to end the war.
Well, a lot of people thought it was the only way to end the war, and perhaps it was at that time, and the war did have to come to a conclusion, as every war should. Well, we shouldn't have it. As advanced souls now and civilization advancing so much with technology and the tools at our fingertips, we should actually be beyond some of this trivial and childish behavior that leads to the death of people that way, don't you think?
Yeah, it was only later on. Of course, I was in science, and I knew about atomic energy, and it seemed like this would open up a whole new world of free energy. And what stands out in my mind is a rally at Madison Square Garden in New York, where we were, the purpose was to have atomic energy under civilian control rather than military control in the government. And I remember Helen Keller speaking at that rally. And she was a charismatic figure who spoke in a monotone, a strange voice, but a voice that was full of love and compassion and looking forward to using atomic energy in a useful way.
Yeah, I know she wanted to support the peaceful development of energy for the use of humanity. She was that type of worker, and she had conquered many of her fears and disabilities to become a very productive part of society. Now, I also interviewed Dr. Jean Houston. She was a guest on this show, and she was, like you, lucky enough to meet this extraordinary woman, Helen Keller. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I try to show that by remembering ourselves as souls, energetic beings, as well as our physical component, that our spiritual potential to overcome illness or disability, any challenge, cannot really stop us from finding and developing our inner soul potential. So I was very delighted to read that you had the opportunity to hear her speak. That was quite a gift.
I think what you're saying is the key to this is recognizing who we really are, that we are a walking miracle.
Yes. that's beautiful. A walking miracle, yes. We are each a divine and miraculous force of eternal life and energy. Yeah, that's beautiful. So tell us how social science can help to resolve national problems, and what are some of the causes and cures of welfare? I know you wrote a book, Do the Poor Want to Work? And this is a situation we're still having a lot of problems with in our cities throughout the country. Can you tell us some of your thoughts?
Yes. Well, my aim was in getting into social science was to find solutions to social problems. And this was at a time I was not aware that there was more to life than social science in terms of dealing with social problems. And I found a way to find my training and advancement in that area, and was able to do some major studies that showed that poor people had basically the same kind of values as middle-class people. This was at a time they thought there was a culture of poverty, and poor people had different kinds of values about family and about work. And my study showed that it was basically similar values about those things. However, it also showed that when people failed in the workforce, there was a downward spiral in their beliefs about whether they could succeed or not. So their views of themselves went downward, and with that downward spiral, there was less effort to try and succeed in the workforce.
Yeah, now I know And you know also that we're very much more similar than we are different. And most of us have, at our core, goodness. It's only when fear of the outside world and fear of surviving because of our materialistic needs, food, clothing, and shelter, and supporting our children, when fear comes in, sometimes we make poor choices. And I agree with you. The poor do want to have a good, decent life. And everybody, as a spiritual being, is entitled, it's our birthright, to have a good quality of life. And I think we're becoming more humane, as we're becoming more evolved, as centuries and time go by, I think a lot of these problems are going to be helped worldwide. I think many, many organizations are working on including people instead of separating people. I think the religions are sort of striving in their own way. They may not be quite aware of it yet, but they're going to come closer together in understanding what the spiritual force is all about, what love is all about, what we as spiritual beings are all about. So I think you did some very important work there and came to some very important conclusions which will be useful in the future. Now, I believe you had a near-death experience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, this occurred even later in life. This was after I had become aware in my 50s, doing all this social science and heading a department and trying to raise two children. While my wife at that time, my ex-wife, was living in Washington. I was heading a department in Massachusetts, and I had two of our three children. And I was just tremendously overworked that I didn't recognize, and I ran into hypertension and other health difficulties. And it's at that point I discovered biofeedback, and then I discovered Buddhist meditation in order to lower blood pressure.
And it works?
Well, it worked so much that I then realized that I had a talent there. You know, I could lower my temperature and so forth. And so I sought out various healers and teachers. One of them, Jack Schwartz, Rosalind Verrier. I had some workshops with Barbara Brennan. So I had become... I entered into a whole other phase of reality, you might say. And what I came to recognize as I did that is that we are all interconnected. And it's not just that the poor have the same values as us, but we are spiritually interconnected. And in our society, this is not recognized.
No, not. It's starting to be spoken about in many, many circles. Quantum physics is also helping us become aware of this interconnectedness. And it's what I was talking about earlier, about many people being sensitive enough to pick up the feelings, the thoughts, the emotions of other people. Because maybe in the future we won't even need our cell phones. We'll be able to, you know, telepathically... Some people are doing it already. I am a medium, and I do download information from a higher realm of information or sphere of information. And I also pick up a great deal of information from the aura or the chakras of a person that I do readings on. So we're aware of it. I think more and more people are becoming aware of it. I think more and more television shows and the media and movies are expressing this, and I think in the future, the children that are being born now are even so sensitive. They're coming in with different spiritual gifts. So I think it's the way of evolution, and it's a good way, and we don't have to be frightened. We have to be grateful about the wonder and miracles of possibilities for what we can do and what we can create in the good light, let's say in the goodness of our heart and in love. I would think that's the way we want to go.
That's exactly right. And even, as you mentioned, in physics, the concept of entanglement,
yes.
that nuclear particles separated interact with each other. They're coming to this kind of metaphysical view in spite of themselves, that life is and reality is a lot more complicated and complex than they originally thought in the earlier days of science.
Well, yeah, everything's changing. Psychology, I mean, medicine, education, the financial structures, they're all under extreme change right now. And we as individuals have got to observe this and make our own conclusions how to best go forward in advancing our own health and our own, as I say, inclusion of everybody, not just to limit ourselves to our own families, but to see the possibility for a world community and a universal community beyond this planet, perhaps. Now, I know you went to many places you have traveled, and what might be an interesting place that you felt connected to?
Well, for the Fulbright Exchange Program, I traveled to India, Pakistan, and Korea to see how American professors were doing in these countries in the rural areas where cultural differences were so great. And for me, in traveling through India, Pakistan, and Korea over a period of three or four months and interviewing the professors and their colleagues and witnessing other things in the culture, that was my first real inkling that there are not just basic differences in culture, but that there are different ways of looking at the world beside the Western view.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And if and we could merge all those views, wouldn't we be a collective community, wise and finding answers to maybe diseases like cancer? You know.
Yes.
We could merge all these Eastern and Western ideas and stop thinking this is better than that, because there's really nothing better than. There is just what can be used in one situation as opposed to another, and at times using all of it together. Yeah, you did discover that.
That's exactly it, and I think that's where we're coming, and that's where I think those who are experiencing difficulties, who are came with the light and for bringing love, need to be aware that the struggles they go through are worth the doing, because on the other side of it is this interconnection. And one of the problems, and coming back to the poverty issue, what I have concluded since doing my research, that basically we're not going to solve the issue of poverty as long as fear dominates our society. And the rich want to get richer because they're afraid that in a competitive win-lose society like ours, they'll lose it all. So they continue, instead of reaching out and trying to interconnect, they reach out to grab more out of fear. And
that's
fear
just,
is the great thing to be overcome. And when people are lower their fear level, then our society will make some major changes.
Well, that's what we have to work towards. And the only thing that is going to get us there is a better understanding of energy, and as you say, interconnectedness, learning how words and attitudes affect us all, learning a view of how the body believes what the mind says, and that illness and many diseases are an outcome of stress and poor relationships. And we need to understand how to respect another person's spiritual needs, as we're all on different levels of physical life and spiritual life. And as you say, yeah, people have got to become more aware of sharing, being cooperative instead of competitive, instead of the dog-eat-dog mentality. We need to come into working as a team. And this is what you and I and many authors and leaders in the field of metaphysical sciences and an understanding of the body and the energy of the soul essence, this is what we're working for.
Yes, and see, that's why it came as a total surprise when I had a major heart attack at the age of, I would have been 67. At least I was on Medicare.
That was good.
But
The system
we were
is.
living then in the mountains of Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and we were not on 911. When I had this heart attack, many people have arm attacks and jaw attacks where they feel the pain, and it's referred to another part of the body. This was a major blockage in my heart, and it felt like two iron fists had grabbed me on each side of my chest and were closing down on me. And it was, I was used to pain, but there is nothing like organ pain.
You know, I think here you said that you had an experience with Jesus. Did you have a vision or a message at that time from that spiritual teacher?
We finally got 911 and got to the hospital an hour and 20 minutes later, and they estimated I'd lost 40% of my heart function. And then a few days later, I had another heart attack in the hospital. And when I came back from that, I was really discouraged. And it's then, and I was resting back in the bed, and it's then I closed my eyes and saw this wall of light. And I was very curious about that. And I walked toward the wall of light, and then I got a message that I could walk through that wall of light and go home. And that would be back to where I come from, which is the Sound Angel realm. Or I could stay. And if I stayed, I could just continue being who I am.
Yeah.
And I decided things, I had not anticipated this. And I made a decision. I paused before the wall of light. And then I got another message which said, if I stayed, that my heart function would come back. These messages, you know, are always sometimes hard to understand. What's happened is that I have lost 30% of my heart function, but I function as a person above normal for my age. So it turned out I had an excess of 30% in my heart function.
Well, that's because it wasn't your time. You had this beautiful book to write and to share your wisdom and to share the history you've lived through. And I want to thank you, Leonard Goodwin, for sharing your book, Echoes in the Universe, and with it, the history of the last century, with such insight and lovely prose, and also your amazing life story, filled with your own desire and curiosity to seek knowledge and inner wisdom and develop the means to look at life positively and courageously, no matter what challenges or pain. To purchase this book, go to Leonard Goodwin. Goodwin.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have shared an understanding of healing and an awareness of recognizing the value of a spiritual side to human existence by Professor Goodwin, whose academic accomplishments are distinguished and extensive, and whose search for wisdom and knowledge took him beyond the academic world to the world of spirit. Learning how to heal on an energetic level leads to healing on a physical and emotional level. And more than that, the sharing by Leonard of his childhood trauma and the lack of sensitivity by some of the adult population and medical profession show us how important it is to be very open and truthful, most especially with young children, as they are souls who are much more knowing than we often give them credit for. Trust and communication in all areas of our lives is the only motivating force for evolving and knowing who we are as spiritual beings having a physical life and becoming conscious and caring individuals, eventually finding, as Leonard said, our way home. And Leonard, you wrote, born in a given country, a given town, to one set of parents, we become attached to those that nurture us. The landscape around us, no place like home. Cultivating only local attachments or regretting them or pining for them when they break can leave us dull to experiences of people, towns, countries beyond, can leave us almost unaware how our breath mingles with the whole, how our steps echo through the universe with familiar ring. No place like home. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear the voices, ideas, and visions of the metaphysical and scientific communities as we search for the ways to know ourselves and our connection to all of life in a more comprehensive and illuminating fashion. Shows may be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.